Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan. I have Mikey and John joining me to discuss a Big Ten West battle, potentially title implications, boys. Are we jumping that far ahead? Illinois playing Minnesota for homecoming this week?
I just got to say, Dan, it's good to have you back, man. We missed the voice of Dan Saladino kicking us off. So it's good to have you back, but
appreciate it.
Big game this weekend in Champaign. I know they're pushing hard for the sellout. I was on the ticket site earlier today, and I don't know that we've made much progress, but hopefully it's as packed as we've seen, because it is a big game. I do think there's Big Ten West, implications on the line here. You got a very experienced quarterback in Tanner Morgan coming in. He's been up and down, though, against Illinois. So it'll be interesting to see who shows up on Saturday. And I hope that the crowd can lead to some points for us, because Vegas sure doesn't like us.
It's always hard to tell with the ticket website, because they hold back tickets to some degree. So you'll go check at one point, it looks like it's a sellout. And then all of a sudden, there's, all the balcony sections are then reopened, and then it goes down more. So it's kind of hard to tell how many have been sold, but I think it's going to be a really good crowd on hand. Maybe not quite a sellout, but yeah, crowd's going to have to be rowdy. It's going to be one of the biggest games probably in a Memorial Stadium since last week, John?
Yeah, seriously. I love Mikey's strategy of getting more people in by calling him out. Just like, hey, I don't know if we're actually going to sell this out. Just a little reverse psychology to get the folks filling up Memorial Stadium. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. I feel like the last couple big games were, people like referencing Michigan State and North Carolina. This is weird, because even though, you just said we're underdogs, I still like, this is the most confident I've felt going into one of these big games. So I'm just excited to be like there for the energy of like, it's not just like a, like sometimes those games have felt like, all right, I'm going to kind of dip my toe into the investment waters in terms of like, am I going to like this team this year? I feel like people now are kind of coming around to, even if this game doesn't go as planned, it's still kind of building that floor even higher. And it's going to, hopefully be a nice payoff with a win.
The fact that the game's at 11 a.m., you really want the win, for the program, just to have another win in the win column. But thinking about a post-game tailgate after a big win like that, an 11 a.m. game gives you plenty of time to party in the afternoon should they come away with a win. However, if they don't pull it out, then we're talking about, you have, I don't know, what time do you think people start tailgating?
I don't know what time the lots open up. Because I guess you could park your RV in there overnight, so I don't know that they even open. I don't know. I've never really tailgated.
What? So. You weren't tailgating your games, your own games, Mikey?
No, I wasn't.
But the 11 a.m. start, you're like, okay, I have maybe 3-4 hours beforehand to, should it be a 2:30 start, you got kind of enough time on the front end and back end to enjoy it. But you really got to get the win so that you have that, whole rest of the evening to celebrate, hopefully, what could be another Illinois victory.
Are we wearing the gray ghosts? Is that still a thing? Did we get rid of that last year?
Be a fan of those.
We didn't wear them last year either.
No.
Oh man,
he's a traditionalist guy.
Yeah, he's stuck with pretty much the same couple iterations of the jersey since he's been here, and I think he said that early on in his tenure that he's like, I want to establish kind of an identity and have, when you see the orange, the orange, blue, orange or whatever, that's Illinois football. I don't know if at some point down the line he then sets it up to have a big game jersey, or if he's just completely not on board with that.
He seems like the kind of guy who he'll come around to maybe having a couple novelty jerseys, because he gets it from like the recruiting aspect of it, and he's so in the details about everything that he's like, yeah, it'll probably help if we can like get some kids in some cool uniforms, and like even the athletes themselves will probably like it. But he also, I think, is very conscientiously trying to like get rid of the old vibes of any kind of predecessors, and just like, I know that obviously they've had some great moments in the Grey Ghost unis.
I was gonna say that's maybe the best moment in the Grey Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Was the Minnesota homecoming game? Was that 2014 with the Viangelo Bentley scoop and score?
Yeah,
and one of our only wins in 2018 in homecoming against Minnesota. So it's maybe he's bucking some history. The trend.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't seen anything to indicate that the Gray Ghost would be unveiled. I guess we could stay tuned. I doubt it happens, but maybe it's a surprise and they run out of the tunnel and something we haven't seen before.
Mikey, I got a question for you. I feel like we've probably asked you this before, but with us talking about the start times, what was your favorite time slot to get a nice kickoff rocking?
By far, 100%, 11 a.m. Because the 3 p.m. game, you're still getting up early. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like you get to sleep in much. The 7 p.m. game, you're just waiting at the hotel all day.
I was going to say, yeah, because you're at the hotel,
and
right?
You're in and out of meetings, and it's just you try to get relaxed, but you can't because you're just thinking about the game. You're, you know, over-reviewing the playbook, over-reviewing, you know, what you got to do against certain coverages, you know, specifically for receivers. So 11 a.m., get up, you know, you're up early at the stadium. You know, it's a little brisk in the morning when you're out there for warmups. And then you're done and, you know, hopefully get a win and can watch college football the rest of the day.
Were you ever affected by time zones?
No, I think the only game I would have been was when we played at Washington, which is on the West Coast. But still, it was a 2-hour time difference. So the flight kind of sucked coming back because it was like a 4.5-hour flight plus 2 hours. So you got home at like 3 or 4 a.m. But no, it doesn't really affect. So everybody thinking that the time zone might affect UCLA and USC, I don't know that it'll play that much of a factor.
All right, we got to talk about Tanner Morgan because he's the focal point of this Minnesota team. I mean, Mo Ibrahim is back. He's had a great year, but Tanner Morgan's really the guy in charge, and he's been there, I think, 6 years. He's been at Minnesota 6 years. To me, he reminds me a little bit of Trent Frazier on the basketball team last year, just the fact that he's been kind of the heart and soul of the program, and he's been the face of the program for so long. And to me, he's just the engine that makes that offense tick. John, I know you had, you know, we were talking before this just briefly, you had mentioned Minnesota made an offensive coordinator switch and their system has gone back to maybe what they were doing in 2019, which is a little more RPO heavy. Do you see that being a significant factor in this game?
Yeah. So it's really funny. It's kind of like a time capsule game in terms of, you know, Kirk Soraka, he went to Penn State, I believe it was. And then he's now back. He was the OC when Minnesota had that really good year in 2019, where they kind of, honestly, like, I'm not going to lie, I've kind of thought about that in terms of the Illini this year, because I remember reading a couple like Minnesota message boards before that year in 2019. And there were a bunch of people being like, oh, we could start off like 10-0 or something like that. I was like, these guys are freaking idiots. Like, that's just like looking through the fans' colored glasses way too much. And I'm kind of thinking like, this is pretty similar to what's happening now in terms of like, you know, we've taken care of, you know, the non-cons and we're, you know, starting off in an unexpected way, but that's besides the point. But that year they had a really effective offense. I mean, they had a couple of NFL wide receivers, but they still had Tanner Morgan and Mo Ibrahim, and they run like a very RPO heavy offense, which you can do when you have, cause I mean, Chase Brown and Mo Ibrahim, this might be like the best running back matchup in like the entire college football season. Cause I mean, most people, like, or not most people, but a lot of like the college football media think that the two of them are probably in like the top five running backs in the entire nation. Mm-hmm. So like, you're probably not going to get many matchups like this, but yeah, like you were saying, a lot of that then is built around Mo Ibrahim's ability to run the ball so well, because then they just hit you with those little quick RPO, you know, passing games. And it's going to be very interesting because it'll be kind of a different test for the Ryan Walters defense.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a chess match between the coordinators, Minnesota's OC and Ryan Walters, because we play an aggressive style defense. So, and especially with, you know, an experienced quarterback like Tanner Morgan, the RPO is 90% mental. You know, it's reading players on the fly, having that quick instinct to, you know, hand the ball off, throw it to your ex receiver, or, you know, make a decision quick, because it can, you know, really pay off well for you. And it'll be interesting to see how our defense comes out. If we're blitz heavy, or, you know, if we're sitting back, just see what they try to do. Because, you know, if Tanner Morgan gets going in that RPO, it could be a long day for our defense. And, you know, I never thought I would say that considering how well we've played this year.
Now for Illinois, as we speak right now, it's still up for debate as to who will be starting at the quarterback position. Tommy DeVito had some sort of ankle injury. Do we know, was it a rolled ankle? Was it a sprained ankle? Was it a broken ankle? I don't know, you know, that it's been reported necessarily just yet, but do you think whether Sitkowski starts or whether Tommy DeVito starts in this game, the game plan changes all that much for Barry Lunney?
I feel like it does to a degree, in the sense of Tommy has shown that, you know, he really had a resurgence from what his playing days at Syracuse were in terms of how they tailed off. And it was kind of, you know, he had found that little new renaissance. And it's not to say that Art can't. It's just, there's a couple things, especially like the mobility in the pocket. I don't think Art necessarily hurts for confidence. I think he's just got, I mean, we talked about in the season preview, he's got kind of enough bad habits that he can't break out of. And so I think an OC like Barry Lunney is going to see that and kind of, you know, put the kid gloves on him a little bit. I mean, we saw it when he came to the game. I think a week long preparation time where, you know, I'm sure Art's getting most of the reps will help him be a bit more comfortable. But at the same time, I don't know if it's necessarily going to change that much in terms of, like, it's going to be a lot of quick passes. Like, you're not going to see him, you know, taking 3-step drops or anything like that, or 5-step drops. Sorry.
Yeah. I think there would, like, in terms of his play calling, you know, with a guy like Tommy DeVito, who's, you know, had a year, you know, that's honestly been better than I thought he was going to do thus far. I think he's got 9 or 10 touchdowns, a couple interceptions. So I think when you have a guy in there, an experienced guy who's played a lot, like Tommy DeVito, as an offensive coordinator, you call plays to try to win the game. And vice versa, when you have a guy in there like Art Sitkowski, who's a little less proven, you know, known to make mistakes, throws interceptions at the 3-yard line, you play not to lose. So I think there would be a different type of offense. Now, would the average fan notice? Probably not. But somebody with, you know, a real knowledge of the game would definitely pick up on, you know, kind of Barry's strategy and how he goes about calling plays versus how he did with Tommy.
I'd like to think that with, you know, what we've seen from Barry Lunney in just the recent years of him making Frank Harris like a pretty unreal weapon, and even Tommy DeVito, a guy that he didn't pick to be his transfer quarterback. Right. He just showed it. Like, he can probably meld together some sort of plan, but at the same time, like, mm-hmm. I just don't know, because a lot of that also is kind of dependent upon the legs too. And not that Art can't run, it's just that I don't know if I want him, especially there's a couple of decisions he made in terms of like lowering his head and shoulders as the like only quarterback who's taken meaningful Big Ten snaps left in the game last week. And even the fumble potential that was there. It's just like, I don't know if I trust him with the ball in his hands as much as I would, you know, a guy like Tommy DeVito.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they deploy him. Should it be Art Sitkowski under center this week? I like that point, Mikey, that you made, that with a guy like him, you're essentially trying not to lose the game, or put him in positions that he won't lose you the game, rather than mm-hmm. taking shots and trying to make explosive plays. So I'll be curious to see if it's Art, how they game plan around that. One guy we know who will certainly be involved in the game plan is Chase Brown, who, you know, John, you said this matchup at the running back position, probably two of the top 5 running backs in the country. Reggie Love's performed admirably, you know, in the backup role. Potentially you get Josh McCray back, but I think this is the kind of game Illinois does go pretty run heavy, and you're going to need all those guys running strong, and they're going to see quite the workload this week, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, we're going to see a heavy dose of number 2 getting the ball. Cause you know, we know what he can do. All the Illini Nation knows what he can do. So to me, regardless of who starts the game at quarterback, I know that is such a vital position, probably the most important position in all of sports. My confidence level won't change because I know we're going to be relying heavy on Chase Brown, and I know that he's up to the task.
Totally. I mean, even just look at last year, like the fact that they were able to go out and like they probably should have won that game by a lot more than they ended up doing so. But like they just went out there and they controlled the ball. I mean, they had a probably better offense like that stretch right there when they hit. It was Penn State, Minnesota, like that around that middle to late portion of the seasons when they really started to congeal as an offensive line and play really well. I don't know if we're quite there yet, but at the same time, like going up against Wisconsin and Iowa, like those aren't pushover defensive lines, and they've, you know, acquitted themselves very nicely as a unit. So I'm definitely excited to see, you know, I kind of hope like also the, not even the selfish fan, but just like the awards and all that in terms of the hype between the two running backs. And I know Chase doesn't have as many touchdowns as some of the other top guys, but if you just get him a bunch of yards, like get him out there running for like 180 or something like that, I'd just be so happy to see that, because it'll really, you know, help continue to propel him through the top running back conversations.
Yeah, I've seen his name pop up a couple times on some Heisman lists, but as you said, the touchdown stat is like the average fan, when they just go check the box scores or they check the top of the statistical categories, they see the yards, and then you look over and you don't quite have the touchdowns that some of the other top candidates have. But, you know, a couple weeks back playing Wisconsin and Braylon Allen, you know, Chase Brown was clearly the better running back in the game, and I don't know if that was more credit to our defense stopping Braylon Allen or, you know, Chase Brown doing his thing. But should he have another performance like he's had thus far throughout the season against Minnesota this week, I think you continue to see his name in that conversation and hopefully atop the rushing yard leaderboard.
Well, and something that's also interesting to monitor, because I don't really know exactly what Mo Ibrahim was out with against Purdue. I know they just came off a bye week, but there was really no mention of him missing that game, and then he did. So, I mean, you hope that obviously, you know, he's fine because he's a great player and he's had an injury riddled past few seasons. But at the same time, like that's something to watch for as well. Maybe he'll be on a limited touches base, and that could be, honestly, it could be kind of similar to like, you know, he could be as important to their success as potentially Tommy DeVito could be to our success. So true. Something to just keep in mind.
Good luck to him this week against our front, three or four, or whatever we want to call them. Depends on the defense we call on any given play.
Yeah. Speaking of the defense, I saw something earlier today about the law firm.
Oh, yeah.
They are like lead the country in quarterback pressures.
Yep.
45 between the two of them, which is so impressive.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they've been playing lights out, and I will be shocked if one, if not both of them, are on all Big Ten first team. I mean, you really got guys at all three levels who have proven to be, you know, worthy of an all Big Ten team. So hopefully the wins, because I know a lot of it has to do with wins. You know, every year, Ohio State, Michigan, those teams atop the Big Ten have, you know, 12, 13 guys on first and second team. Then a team like Illinois, you know, who usually gets one or two Big Ten wins, is usually only has one guy, if that. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if we carry on this success as a team, how it helps individuals, you know, with that recognition.
Before the season, we talked about the D-line, and we all kind of thought that was a little bit of a question mark. Like, you knew you had Keith Randolph. Like, we knew Johnny Newton was a player, but Calvin Avery made a big step this year. We didn't know what we were getting from him. On the edge, Ezekiel Holmes and Seth Coleman were kind of question marks. We kind of thought we knew what they were. And, you know, obviously Ezekiel Holmes goes down with an injury. Gabe Akis ends up getting significant playing time, and he's acquitted himself very well so far. So it's turned into be, you know, what's been the strength of our defense and kind of helping us put up these incredible numbers we have so far. But it's so funny to see how far we've come from the preseason till now, you know, 6 weeks into the season.
Yeah, and especially doing it against, you know, like you said, Iowa and Wisconsin.
Right, not nobody.
Who are known, like, at least the last two, you know, decades to having, you know, one of the best offensive and defensive lines in the conference. And our boys have gone out there and, you know, quite honestly, held their own, if not owned them.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very impressive to see. And especially, we've harped on it a lot, how this success of this season has come before a lot of us expected it to. You know, it's very rare that a coach in a year and a half in has been able to turn a program around this much. And it's, you know, it's great to see. It's great to see those guys buy in and see success on Saturday.
You guys talked ad nauseum about the defensive line, and I can't really say much more other than, like, it'll be so exciting to see how, I mean, we talked about the chess match between Ryan Walters and Kirk Soraka, but, like, also just seeing how, I don't think I'm giving anything away by saying it's going to be very key how the linebackers play, mm-hmm. because, like, that RPO game is very, predicated on what those linebackers are doing. I think you can be, I don't want to say like lazy, but I think you can kind of try and cheat a little bit with how elite the front three have been playing in terms of Keith, Calvin, and Johnny. Like those guys have, I mean, they're like your leading tacklers are obviously your linebackers. Sometimes if you have a bad defense, your safeties, that's usually indicative of like a bad defense when your safeties are your leading tacklers. Our defensive linemen are our leading tacklers. That's craziness. Oh, so it'll be cool to see that matchup and see how then, you know, the linebackers play off that.
With that being said, we want to get into our picks of the week. John, were you tipping your cap with the linebacker pick? I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I'm actually, I might as well just lead right into it. I think Tariq Barnes, with how he played in terms of that dude is just, he's like the Troy Polamalu. I know Sid Brown gets a lot of Troy Polamalu comps, but Tariq Barnes' ability to guess the snap, you know, he did it last year. He's been doing it this year. He's definitely going to be my pick of the week because he's just like he's gonna have to have some big stops on defense against that running game. I mean, it's gonna be him versus Mo Ibrahim in a hole, and Mo Ibrahim's like a little bowling ball of a dude, so got to find a way to bring him down, but also making sure that he doesn't get, you know, tricked up or caught, you know, looking around because Tanner Morgan's keeping the ball and then all of a sudden he's lost, you know, his responsibility. So it's gonna have to be a big game for him. I'm really excited, but I think if he goes out there and balls out, then we have a great chance to win.
All right, Mikey.
I am going to keep it on the defensive line. This is kind of like a cheesy pick because he's had a very good season, but I'm going to go Johnny Newton.
I like it.
Look for him this to be his for real coming out party. He's going to come out, and I'm going to say he's going to have 2.5 sacks and 2 TFLs. Okay. And it's really going to be the game that puts him on notice, not just throughout the Big Ten, but throughout the country. So look for him to have a huge impact.
I like
number
that
four.
All right, so we got two defensive picks here. Riding with the hot hand.
Danny?
No, I mean, obviously I went Caleb Griffin. I thought the kicker was going to be a big proponent in that game. So I almost want to double down and just pick another specialist.
You picking Breezy?
But no. Actually, this, I might as well give you my Danny's deep dive of the week since we're going down the special teams path. You want to guess how many Australian or New Zealand punters are starters in the Big Ten?
Out of 14 schools, I'm going to say 9.
You know, 6.
7 is the answer. Half the league has a Australian or New Zealand punter. So this week, we obviously have Hugh Robertson, who's an Aussie. In Minnesota features an Australian punter as well. So it's
I hate catching balls from Australian punters. There's like a different type. Like when I used to have to catch from Blake Hayes in practice, the worst like 15-minute period of practice every time. Because there's like a different type of spin that, I guess he was a lefty too, so the ball comes a different, it spins a different direction, but he would just, man. Yeah. All right. Sorry, Dan. Keep going. Had to get that out there.
Mikey went to a bad place there for a little
bit. Yeah.
That's funny. No, I don't think I'm going to go with a specialist this week. I do think punters especially will be important in this game. I'm going to take a pick that you guys definitely don't see coming. And my pick of the week are Illini fans. Illini Nation.
Let's ride.
I'm taking a pick that no one's done in the history of this podcast. I'm taking someone who's not even on the field, and I'm going with Illini Nation. I think
the 12th man.
I think the crowd will be a significant factor, and I think it was you know, last week against Iowa. I wasn't at the game. I know Robert reported that there was a penalty that he was like, that was our first they false started because the crowd was so loud penalty we've had in however long. And I think there'll be more of that in this game. So I think the crowd will be a big factor. I think it's going to be a close game, not to tip my cap at my prediction, but I could see, you know, a final drive or something of that sort where the crowd's on their feet and as loud as we've seen it in Memorial Stadium. And for that reason, you know, I think I got to go with the fans in this game, which is like the dumbest, cheesiest pick, but I thought it'd be kind of funny.
Oh, I like that, Dan, because they are going to play a huge factor. You know, home field advantage is a real thing, and it helps teams, you know, and it hurts teams that are on the road. So I actually really, this is the second week in a row, Dan, where I've really, really liked your pick. Let's get into game predictions.
All right.
I'm going to go last. So Dan, why don't you start us off?
Oh boy. All right. You guys aren't going to like this then. I think, you know, if we look at what Illinois did when we played Wisconsin, we had that little bit of extra preparation. Minnesota, they blew out opponents their first four games, and then they're kind of an enigma to me because 2 weeks ago when they played Purdue, out of nowhere, they just kind of lost that game. And I think they'd won every other game by at least three touchdowns, and it wasn't even close before that. Not that they had played anyone spectacular. I know they played Colorado. Michigan State's not a bad team, not a great team, but they handled them pretty easily. And then, you know, sputtered against Purdue. So I think the extra week of preparation, you know, having that six-year senior quarterback, they have a pretty good offense. I don't think Illinois' touchdown streak in Memorial Stadium for the defense is going to continue this week. I think Minnesota will find the end zone at some point, but I do think it's going to be a close game. So I am going to take Minnesota 20-17 this week.
Damn, that just broke my heart. I'm picturing Memorial Stadium scoreboard as 20-17 with no time left.
Everyone's walking out quiet.
Yeah,
everyone's turning to Dan in the stadium and booing him.
That's what I want to happen. I want you guys next week to be just in my face, like, you idiot, you chose Minnesota. What a loser.
Okay.
That's what I want to happen. But my gut tells me, you know, Illinois gets got here at home, and we'll see. I think the defense will play pretty well, but Minnesota's got a dynamic enough offense to find the end zone, in my opinion. And, you know, if Illinois makes mistakes, if we make the same mistakes we made against Iowa, this game might not even be close. Illinois might lose, you know, in a blowout, but I think we'll do enough to keep it close. I just think Minnesota's arguably the better team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Defenses are relatively comparable, and I just see Minnesota pulling this one out this week.
You hate to see it.
Someone can follow that and just change the mood real quick.
I'll try. You know, I like to, at least when it comes to like sports and picking games and whatnot, I like to kind of like not fade myself, but fade my initial reaction, because I feel like if Tommy was healthy, I would almost be like so confident that we'd be winning that I'd be like, okay, time to pump the brakes, John. Like, this could be like a trap game, or mm-hmm. like, you know, this is a, you know, big test in terms of their offense being good, something like that. But now I feel like I've almost done the inverse, where now I'm like, okay, if Art is going to be the quarterback, you know, oh man, like, we're probably not going to score at all. It's going to be another, like, you know, touchdownless performance. But then I'm kind of like, why can't it play out the same way last year did? Because I don't really think, I mean, I think Brandon's a better quarterback than Art is, but the similarities are, you know, pretty strong between the two of them. And yes, it's a different offense, so I'm not going to get into the semantics of that, but it just seemed like a game where, like, why can't you run all over them? Like, they don't have quite the defensive talent that some of the defenses of the past few weeks we've gone up against. I think we can run all over them. I think it'll be a good test for our offense in terms of, like, you know, what they've got scheme wise, but I think the defense can still, you know, just unbelievably ball out still. Like, yes, the offense is experienced. They don't quite have the weapons on the outside. They've had a couple injuries at the wide receiver position, and they've just lost a lot of depth in terms of, like I said earlier, they had like NFL guys for the longest time. And so I don't know, like, yeah, it'll be tricky, but I just have the confidence that Ryan Walters is going to figure a way to dial up some exotic schemes or something like that and figure it out. So I am going to go with Illinois 24, Minnesota 13. Sadly, they're not going to keep the streak of keeping everyone's touchdownless in Memorial Stadium, but I think that they'll find a way. I think there could be, my specific stat will be, there will be a defensive or special teams touchdown. Maybe a block punt. Maybe one of the Aussies will think that they're back, you know, down south or something like that, and they'll just get confused, or they'll drop the ball, and then, you know, someone comes through. Maybe, I don't even know, I think Tariq Barnes might play special teams, whatever. But we'll get something, and it'll spark the nation. The crowd will be, you know, going bananas, and then we'll just ride that wave all the way to a victory.
Like Mikey said, the Aussies punt differently, so maybe you get a weird spinning ball that gets muffed and recovered.
Telling you, the worst, it's the last time I'm going to say it, but the worst thing ever is Monday meetings when you're going over, like, the team you're about to play on Saturday, and you're in special teams, and they say, they have the Australian punter. Yep. It's like, dang, no, I deal with this every day. But anyways, my pick of the week, or my, yeah.
Your game prediction.
Game prediction.
My game prediction. I'm going Illinois 17, Minnesota 13. And I truly think it's going to be a great game. Like, I think for four quarters, you know, palms will be sweating. I'll be pacing. You know, I think it's going to be a great Saturday in Champaign, and I think we're going to come out of there with a win. And I think our defense is going to play really well, have a couple turnovers, do their thing. And then Art, if he starts, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, just he won't lose us the game, which is all he needs to do.
All right. There we have it. Big time matchup. Like we said, Big Ten West implications at stake in this game. 11 a.m., homecoming, should be a huge game. I know for me, probably my most anticipated Illini football game of the past decade. So I couldn't be more excited, and I'm ready to see it play out.
You got any Danny math for the potential game planning of the head coach and quarterback looking like almost exactly like each other and the confusion that potentially ensues?
It's so funny you say that, because I was looking at pictures of both of them. I Googled pictures of both of them because I had the same exact thought.
So weird.
The same exact thought. I was like, PJ Fleck is just Tanner Morgan without a beard. Like, that's, he looks like he's the same guy. I didn't factor that into my decision. Maybe I should have, but can't take it back now. I don't want to see PJ Fleck running up and down the sideline. That always bothers me, but hopefully we don't, at least the cameras on Big Ten Network aren't going to be panning to it too much. Is it on Big Ten Network? Do we know what channel the game's
on?
Yeah. It shouldn't matter because everyone's going to just go to the game and you're not going to be watching on TV. Mm-hmm. So don't even bother to look it up. Illinois, Minnesota, a ranked Illinois team. We'll see if they can defend the homeland this week in Champaign. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Field Pass. We appreciate you listening, viewing, subscribing. Check us out on social media. We are at the Field Pass is our Twitter handle. Thank you, and go Illini.